Get up! Get out of here and go!
Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at The Avenue, here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
From Fenway, as we're watching the regular crew leave here, if you're watching on YouTube, there's Josh Maurer, Kent Sommerfeld. Josh is coming back in. Hey, congrats to Josh Maurer here right off the top. First game calling at Fenway Park, longtime Pawtucket Paw Sox broadcaster. So congratulations. I know this is a cool day for you. So he says a big thank you through the radio here as well. Live from Fenway Park. We're live. This is what gets to happen when we're at Fenway. So this is really, really cool stuff. Of course, Sal Frelick from here. Of course, the Brewers played a great game today. 7-2, the final score over the Red Sox. I'm Dominic Cotroneo. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. If you want to join us here on the program tonight, I am flying solo as we figure things out and get through today's game, because plenty to talk about from this one. Right off the jump, because you can lose sight of it very quickly with the offensive performances that we're going to talk about tonight. But the opener strategy has been often deployed and thought about, and some teams think about what they're going to do with it, and is that going to work for us? And the Brewers have been milling about tonight's opener strategy for a while, thinking about when would be a good opportunity. And we've talked about tandem outings where maybe there'll be a day that, you know, Jacob Junis starts and then D.L. Hall follows, or vice versa, or Bryce Wilson gets an opener, and you get all these lefties. So, and that's what we finally saw today, because it just finally lined up for the Brewers to say, you know what, this could be the day that really works out. Because the Red Sox power, the Red Sox damage, comes from the left-handed side. And specifically, Jaron Duran, Willy Abreu has been great. Granted, tonight he did not look so great. Rafi Devers, of course. There's some serious danger at the top of that order from the left side. And the Brewers finally kind of looked and said, you know what, if you can get a lefty to open this game and have Bryce only have to face those tough lefties twice in an ideal world, I feel like you would have a very good chance. And, well, Jaron Duran had a very good game. He had 3-for-5 today with a couple of hits, a stoink double as well. But what you were able to do is Willy Abreu struck out against the lefty early, and then he struck out twice against Bryce, so that certainly helped. You had the lefty Rafi Devers fly out as the last batter that Koenig faced in the first inning. Then he went 0-for-2 against Bryce as well. He once led off an inning, and he once came up with two outs. So you kept him in damage, or in damage control, I should say, against a guy that you really wanted to make sure you kept in check. So today, you know, we like to always criticize when things go wrong and call out things that aren't going great. Well, today a thing went great, and that was the decision to use an opener. Now, it got a little sketchy, and this is I highlight plays throughout the game of what caught my eye, what were sneaky, important plays. And the fact that the Brewers, when you think about an opener, you tend to believe, oh, we're going to put the guy in a clean inning. We'll give him a clean chance to enter the game, let him come in, and you'll bring in another guy. You burn another reliever to get out of an inning in a clean fashion, right? So maybe you were thinking, with two men on and two men out and Tyler O'Neill coming up, maybe you bring in another righty. It would be just for one or two batters if you think about it, but maybe you do just do that just to give it an ease into for Bryce Wilson. But no, the decision to go to Bryce immediately, and Bryce paid off with an 8-pitch strikeout of Tyler O'Neill on the cutter, which set the stage for the day that he was going to have. 5 1/3 innings, 7 strikeouts. He allowed 2 runs. He earns the win. He was fantastic tonight. So we might get lost in talking about Bryce tonight, given how great he was today. I mean, the offense and what William did and what Yelly did and what the bottom of the order did today, which we're going to talk about plenty. But the opener strategy worked tonight, and more specifically, what Bryce did tonight was a massive step forward for the Brewers to set it up exactly as they wanted and get ready for the rest of this weekend series to stay on track and bring some mojo back to American Family Field on Monday. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. I'll get to some of these texts right now. I do want to get to the phone lines. Sam in New Berlin, you're live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Good evening, Dom. I just wanted to talk about just how great the at-bats were today, just constantly putting pressure on the pitcher. And I just really wanted to start off in the third inning here, because you had that double by Trujillo, and then the bunts continuing to put pressure and forcing the pitcher to make a play, and then Crawford obviously doesn't make it. And then you get the sac fly, which was refreshing to see, since we couldn't buy a sac fly if it bit him in the you-know-what in Miami. Mm-hmm. So I just thought it was great situational hitting, and then William over the monster, which was just crazy.
Yeah, that was a rocket off the bat. And furthermore, I think today, to get to your into your thread here with the at-bats, so many great at-bats with two strikes once again today for the Brewers. Like, so Freelick's, or rather Terang's sack fly came with two strikes. You had the Churio double to left center came with two strikes. You had Willie's opposite field double with that scored two runs in the fifth with two strikes. So this was a day that the Brewers offense just kept applying pressure. And seven runs, quite frankly, I mean, they had the bases loaded with one out in the seventh, and we all know what happens when the Brewers get the bases loaded. But they certainly left runs out there, but yet we're sitting here talking about a victory with a 7-2 win, in large part thanks to what the pitching staff did tonight. But very good observation there, Sam. Appreciate you calling it in here. We're up against our first break of the night, but want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. Fifth Third Bank, a proud sponsor of Brewers Extra Innings. And the Brewers get the victory today by a final of 7-2. We'll talk more about the offense, talk about William Contreras, talk about Christian Yelich, coming up after this on 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Fifth Third Bank with a local Milwaukee team. Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. If you want to call in, if you want to text in, hang out with us here tonight on WTMJ. I'm Dominic Catronio, flying solo tonight. Let me get to a few of these texts here on the text line. Brian from Tosa, great bounce back win tonight. What a difference a game can make. What a surprise that it came against a right-handed pitcher, although Yelich and our left-handed bats, other than Yelich, our lefties did not get a hit. Hopefully the offense continues to stay hot this weekend. Where would the Brewers be without Wilson and Hudson? Great performance tonight. I agree. All no notes from me, Brian. Appreciate the text there. Adam from Poinette, great team win tonight. However, Bowers, Freelick, and Durang combined 1-for-13, similar to what Brian was saying. Do you think their three starts off played into that? Absolutely, 100%. Now, there's no reason to panic about it, but the reason why I don't panic about it is because of those guys, of those lefties that weren't named Christian Yelich, in their total of 15 plate appearances, there was only two strikeouts. So they're seeing the ball, just not making quality contact right now. So I'm not certainly worried about that at the moment, but it's something to monitor because three right-handed starters this weekend against the Red Sox. This one from Tom in South Dakota. Hope you enjoyed just being a fan tonight, but are we done with these Apple TV games? I imagine we'll probably have one or two more on Apple TV. Hey, they pay a lot of money, Major League Baseball, to broadcast these games, and that money gets fed back down to the team. So it is what it is. Broadcasting is a subjective business, and you know, no comment from me. It's not a big deal. And if you're really that mad, come on over, hang out with us here on WTMJ. Lane, Josh, Jeff, back at home, Bob, we can all take care of you here on the radio. Adam in Gainesville, Florida. Seeing that your job entails doing deep dives and players and metrics and all that, since you were able to attend the game with your partner, do you feel like you were able to enjoy the game from a higher level of a fan's perspective of baseball? That's a great question there, Adam. I am going to dive into that toward the end of the program because I do have some thoughts with that. But in short, in case you missed it today, with Apple TV being on the air, normally I work Bally during the game and then slide over here to the WTMJ side. That meant I didn't have to work during the game. And so I thought, well, why not go sit and watch the game with my girlfriend, which isn't normally a thing that we're able to do. So we did it, and it was great, and I really enjoyed being able to sit and watch a baseball game and not being on Twitter and not looking up highlights and not doing that sort of thing. But I'll break that down a little bit more. But in short, yes, Adam, I loved it, and it was really refreshing for me because I think I really needed that at this time right now. Another text here about the lefties having sat. Let's hope they heat up again soon. I agree. Back on track, just like the doctor ordered, against a right-handed pitcher and the Red Sox. Got to see the NL MVP up close, and it wasn't to their liking. Yep, that one from Doug. And finally, Josh in Milwaukee. It's been a tough road trip, but it's always nice to see the Brewers show out on a national broadcast. Contreras is a legitimate MVP candidate. A series win would be welcome. So let's talk about William. 112 miles an hour off the bat, over the monster and left. Popcorn went flying. He also drew a walk, also had another hit to the opposite field today as well. On base three times to go 2-for-4 at the plate and score two runs. I know what the Dodgers are doing. And what's fun about playing teams that we don't normally see, right, the Red Sox, or being on Apple TV with Alex Faust and Ryan Spielberg's here, we get to brag. We get to talk about the Brewers because, look, as Yelly said in spring training, people don't care about the Brewers, don't give them a chance because, well, we're the Brewers. And getting to inform people, so is William really that good? And we all get to sit here and say, yes, he is that good. He is the best catcher in baseball. Didn't love the pass ball tonight. And that gold glove goal might be slipping away from him at this point. However, he takes that very seriously. I'm sure he's very frustrated about the fact that he does not, or that he has as many pass balls as he has right now. But let me just read you some numbers here for William Contreras. I know what Shohei and Mookie are doing in LA, but William is hitting .337. That is fourth in all of Major League Baseball. He has... Tonight was his eighth home run, so he doesn't hit as many homers as other players. Big whoop. Tonight was RBIs 41 and 42. That's fifth most in baseball. His on-base percentage is .412. That is just 2 points ahead of Juan Soto. His slugging percentage, again, because he doesn't hit as many home runs as the rest of the world, isn't as great as what you would expect it to be, but yet it's still over .500. His OPS is over .950. He's in eighth in Major League Baseball at that. He's got the fourth most hits in the game. He's got a total of 67 hits at this point in the season. I mean, heck, he could be flirting with 170, 180 hits by the end of the season. I mean, remember, 200 used to be the threshold. Nowadays, it's more like 175 as a threshold of having an epic season. He's also been able to hit with power, hit with blasts, as we've talked about. Hard hit rate has been great. He has scored the second most runs in baseball, only behind Bobby Witt Jr., and Bobby Witt steals bases. William doesn't. This dude's legitimately an MVP candidate. Legitimately. And I know Mookie and Shohei are doing what they're doing. Personally, this may sound crazy. Maybe it's a little bit of bias of what I've seen every day. I have a hard time putting a designated hitter ahead of a catcher in MVP voting. It's the truth. And it's not a knock on Shohei in the fact that I need you to do more, guy. Like, no, he's recovering from Tommy John surgery, or the brace surgery. He's not able to play defense right now. And he can still be top three in MVP voting, but personally, it should be right now a race of Mookie and William for the 1-2 spots, and Shohei is probably three. And I imagine if this pace continues for William, that will be the conversation that, wait, you're deciding between a DH and a catcher. It should be leaning to the catcher on a team that, quite frankly, was projected to finish below .500. Tonight was their 29th victory of the season. They have 29 wins in their first 50. 8 games above .500 in the first 50 games of the season. Every single Brewers fan would have taken that this offseason with all the questions. And now, in the reality of all the injuries that they've been dealing with, they have been doing this without Devin Williams. They have been doing this without Garrett Mitchell. They've been doing this with only 14 games from their primary core of the lineup. It is very impressive, and it's all in part thanks to William Contreras. Now, up next, I want to talk about Christian Yelich. He's obviously a big part of today. Kind of flew under the radar getting 3 hits. But talk about Yelly and his return coming back from the injured list and some other down-the-box score thoughts here as well. Brewers win 7-2 over the Red Sox, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. On your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. MJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Petronio. Brewers win 7-2. Fun night at Fenway Park. Sweet Caroline. Didn't hear Dirty Water today, and that's a good thing. Don't want to hear Dirty Water at all this weekend in Boston. Want to thank one of our sponsors, Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Spring in Wisconsin means it's time for your annual AC tune-up. And you can save $25 on AC preventative maintenance right now through the end of the month. You got a couple days left. You can schedule an appointment today at Seider, Seider.com. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. You can call in, you can text in, hang out with us here as we're going until just past the 10 o'clock hour in the Central Time Zone here from the East Coast. Tomorrow's game starts at 4:10, and then on Sunday we will finish things up at 12:35 Central Time. I should say 3:10 Central Time tomorrow, 12:35 Central Time on Sunday. As we watch the fertilizer cart just go out there back and forth here at Fenway Park, as a now empty Fenway Park, sold out crowd here. It's just a really cool place to work from, and I've been here dozens of times. I've been very lucky in my career to make it back and forth here over the years. But for me, the coolest part about Fenway Park, and then we'll get to Christian Yelich here, is the tunnel, which I know is not accessible to the public, but the tunnel from the clubhouse to the dugout. And I know a lot of people go into the Monster and sign the Monster, or sign Pesky Pole down the right field line, or go see the statues outside of Gate B. For me, one of the little things that I love about Fenway, and the nuance and the age and how cool it is, yes, it's a tiny clubhouse and guys like to have their space and all this stuff, but that tunnel, that walk from the visiting clubhouse to the dugout, is arguably the coolest walk in baseball, because it is obviously the oldest park, 1912. And you think about all the players that have made the same walk that you are making from that clubhouse to that dugout. And it just really kind of hits you. And the ghosts of Wrigley, or the ghosts of Wrigley, the ghosts of Fenway is a real thing. The ghost of Wrigley is not a thing because it's a different clubhouse of where it used to be. But the ghost of Fenway is certainly a real thing, in my opinion. And I really, really do appreciate getting to work games in this incredible hallowed ground. And finally, I've said it before, I'll say it again, the teammate statue outside of Gate B, you know, with the Fisk statue and the Ted statue and all that. In the teammate statue, you've got Johnny Pesky, Bobby Doerr, Ted Williams, and Dom DiMaggio. And reminder, I was named after Dom DiMaggio, so it's kind of cool for me to be back here to see the little professor. He's the only one of those four teammates that does not have his number retired here by the Red Sox. Dom passed a few years ago in the early 2000s. But let's talk about Yelly now. Yelly today, three hits and two runs scored, an RBI double that was scalded off the Monster in left center field. He hasn't really been elevating the baseball so much, but he also had a little bloop single in the ninth inning, came around and scored an insurance run. I loved what we've seen from Yelly. I know he's waiting on his first home run since coming off the injured list, and we spent a long time talking about Yelly before and after in yesterday's Brewers Weekly. And what I see from Yelly tonight was, okay, he's elevating the baseball and doing damage to the baseball. He is still hitting the ball hard. And tonight, as I'm looking up, I'm pulling up his exit velocities this evening to see how hard he was hitting the baseball. The double came off the bat at 106 miles an hour, one of the singles at 94 miles an hour, and then the stoink that we mentioned in the ninth inning. Hey, you get some good luck here every now and then. The fact that he's hitting the ball hard, today he used all fields, left center, right field, and a bloop into left field. I love seeing that from Yelly. And today was a DH day, too, for him, and this is something I'm meaning to talk to him about. Like, what do you adjust? What changes in your routine when you're a DH versus when you're the left fielder? Are you the type of guy that will go down to the tunnel and take some swings if you get the chance? Are you the type of guy that just wants to sit on the top row and watch every pitch? Or what do you try to do to stay locked into the game? So these are things that the great veterans of the game do, like Christian Yelich, who's already passed 10 years of service time, that you have created your routine and you've stuck to it. I asked Pat Murphy today about at-bats and how the Red Sox are a team that don't throw a lot of fastballs in traditional fastball counts. And he said, doesn't matter if it's a fastball count or not or who you're facing. What is your game plan? Stick to your game plan, pitch to pitch. And I thought that was really interesting because you look at the veterans in this lineup, they have a game plan. Like one of Bryce is not a veteran, but one of Bryce's game plans is that not to panic when he reaches two strikes. He's had so many hits and so much contact with two strikes. He didn't strike out once today. He had a two-strike count in two of his five plate appearances, including the sack fly coming with an 0-2 count. Sal Frelick had multiple two-strike counts tonight. In fact, four of his five plate appearances, he had a two-strike count. did not strike out tonight. He put the ball in play. I know four of them were ground balls, and he'll work on that. He was on the bench the last 3 days. But guys like Yelich have game plans, and the rest of this lineup has game plans. Another guy that had a game plan that really worked out for him was Willy Adames. And the decision to leave him in, the decision by Alex Cora to leave in Cutter Crawford, knowing he had a lefty behind Adames with Bowers and a lefty warming up at the bullpen, saying, hey, this is your last guy, and Crawford got ahead of Willie 1-2, and he had a game plan to not miss the pitch that he got, and he rips it to the opposite field. You don't hit balls to the opposite field that hard on accident, 104 miles an hour, getting a cutter out over the middle of the plate and demolished it. So game plans are starting to spread through this lineup, not just from William, who reached base 3 times. Yelly reached base 4 times. Adames reached base 3 times. The meat of the order performing like the meat of the order was supposed to. So I loved seeing that from them. Here on the text line from Joseph, when are we going to start looking or worrying about the standings and games ahead? Let's break that down coming up next. I was talking about this with some of the members of the Red Sox brass, and let's talk about that coming up next. When do you start to look? And let's break down why after this on 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
We're back. Gosh, I love this ballpark. We might need to cue up Sweet Caroline a little bit later here, Max. Max Meyerson, our producer, back in Milwaukee. I'm Dominic Catronio. Brewers win by a final of 7-2 in game one of a 3-game series with the Red Sox. We're going to break down talking about the decisions or when do you start to actually look at the standings up next in a moment. Right now, I want to get to the phone lines, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Brett over in Tosa. Brett, you're live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, Dom. Thanks for taking my call. Just two quick things tonight. One, I think you mentioned it like a week ago, before that Miami series, talking about how this team's going to have to create its own energy in Miami. And, you know, it's a different thing playing in front of 8,000 to 10,000 people against that atmosphere in Miami. And then tonight's the perfect example. You know, a great atmosphere in Fenway, and they come out and look a lot more like the team that we've seen the first 2 months out of the year. And I think this weekend's probably the perfect atmosphere to get them ready for next week, which takes me into my second point. As you probably saw, the Cubs got rained out tonight, and, you know, they've got the best pitcher in probably baseball right now. And instead of pitching them tomorrow or Sunday, council pushes them off till Monday, which kind of just makes me laugh, whether that's throwing two lefties against the Brewers or, you know, maybe a sign of how bad he wants to win that game. I'm urging Brewers fans, please get your tickets. You know, for us Brewers fans that have cheered for this team our entire lives and feel like we're diehard fans, it's not a switch you can just turn off, and it's not something you can just choose. And for him to come back on Monday, I'm pumped up. I hope Brewer fans come and support this team like he did. And so thanks. Great show, Dom, as always, and thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, you got it, Brett. Thank you. On the Cubs front there, the Brewers are going to see Shota one way or another, whether it was going to be over the weekend against the Cardinals. Unless he had pitched on Sunday, you weren't going to see him. And quite frankly, offices, they're thinking about their series for June and how they're going to line up their rotation right now. So they have had this plan for a while. Rain obviously changes things, but they knew Shota was going to pitch against the Brewers. And why wouldn't you want him to pitch against the Brewers? Not just because he's left-handed, but because he's one of the best in baseball. And when you're in a 4-game series, you kind of have to understand, yeah, you're going to see their best. You're going to see what they have to the table. You're going to see Shota. You're going to see Steele. You're probably going to see Assad again, depending on how they rearrange things this weekend with the Cardinals. But then you're probably, Hendricks has been moved to the bullpen, so you're probably not going to see him. Maybe Wisniewski again, given how great he looked against the Brewers in game one of that series at Wrigley. And with the energy part of that part from Brett, you're right with the talking about create your own energy, and the Brewers kind of fell flat. And I talked to an unnamed player about that this, you know, in the clubhouse today, and I was like, look, it feels like and sounds like spring training to me, and I'm not trying to create excuses for you guys or anything, and What is that accurate? Is that hard to get up for? It's 100%. But at the same time, we have to hold ourselves professional and accountable and show up. This didn't surprise us that it was an empty ballpark. It would surprise you if it was an empty ballpark on a Friday night in Milwaukee, right? That's what would surprise you. But the fact that they knew it was going to be empty is what they were frustrated with, maybe with trying to make sure that, yeah, we know it was going to be tough, but no excuses. It's not surprising on you. And I was talking to some folks this week about the ramp that the Brewers are on right now with the topsy-turviness of their stretch. So you go to Houston, sold-out crowds, epic. I know they lost that series, but those were some really good games. Of course, the William homer against Justin Verlander might have been caught at the right time. That brings it up to, you know, a high level, right? Then you come to Miami, and it drops down, and you have to create your own energy like we're talking about. Then you come back here, sold-out crowd, legendary Fenway. It's the Sal Frelick show, and he had Sal Frelick Day officially in Lexington, Mass. Today. That was a cool ceremony they had here this morning. And he's got all these obligations, all these tickets out and everything, and that's energy's up high. Then, of course, the Cubs series coming next week. That energy's high. And even though you're at home, you got the White Sox coming. So the energy technically dips a little bit because you can't take your opponent for granted. Can you say, okay, even if we don't have our best stuff, we got to show up and play against the White Sox? And then what's really going to be hard is the real energy suck, if you will, coming in that first week of June when you go back on the road for Philly. Reese will likely be back for that, we're hoping, and then it's the off day following that. So you're in a real big ramp over these next 2 weeks of energy going up and down and flowing in the chaos of Philly. Granted, those are weekday games, so that will certainly help, but looking out for what the Brewers need to do to create their own energy. Now, the whole point of this segment was to talk about when do we look at the standings. I've always said I do not look at standings until July. Father's Day is fine, but I don't look at standings until, like, seriously until July. Because the veterans have got to start playing more. Maybe teams are dealing with injuries early in the season and that sort of thing. I mean, you can go on, let's just go ahead and look on today's date, last season, what the standings were across Major League Baseball. On May 24th, 2023, the Rays were leading the AL East by 3 games. The Twins obviously won the Central, but they were in first place by 2.5. The Central kind of stunk last year in the American League. The Rangers, they were in first place, but they kind of fell back down to earth a little bit in the middle of the season. The Astros and them had a great duel down the stretch. I mean, the Angels were 5 games above 500 at this point last season. And then, obviously, they had the fire sale with the Shohei injury and everything that happened after the trade deadline. Elsewhere in the NL side of things, Milwaukee was in first place on this date 1 year ago, ahead of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Pirates were 25-24. The Diamondbacks, they were in second place. They were a game and a half back of the Dodgers. They were still, quote-unquote, in it until the Dodgers eventually pulled away. Miami was ahead of Philly in the standings. Remember, Philly and Rob Thompson had to figure out what's going wrong. Let's get this guy right. Let's get him an extension. And then Philly was 3 games under 500 with no Harper and no Hoskins. And look at them now. So we don't care about it in May. We look at it, but we just don't care about it in May. Like I said, Father's Day is fine. But personally, July. Because that's when things start to get a little more sticky. Meaning, all right, teams are looking honestly at the standings to say, it's not going to be us this year. And like a team that could be in that boat is the Cincinnati Reds. And the Reds continue to struggle right now. And Cincinnati, they won today against the Dodgers, which was really important for them, obviously. But they're still well under 500. There are a lot of questions about their pitching staff. The Reds are now 21-30. And they're entering a stretch right now where they're going to face some really quality opponents. They're in last place in the Central Division. So they're playing the Dodgers this weekend at home. Then they play St. Louis, who's been playing better. They go to Wrigley, and they've been playing well. They go to Colorado, who quietly have been playing well. It's the altitude adjustment as well. You come back home for Chicago. You're home for the Ohio series with Cleveland. You come to Milwaukee, and then you go to Pittsburgh, and you're home for Boston. I mean, this whole month of June is heavy hitters, and then finally, boom, 4th of July, the Yankees. So they have to make the decision right there about July 1. All right, who are we going to be? What's the kind of team that we're going to have? And you remember last year, the Mike Tauchman robbed catch, the robbed home run in St. Louis. might have saved the Cubs season. And you can do a full butterfly effect of everything that happened because Mike Tauchman robbed that home run against the Cardinals toward the end of the trade deadline. And Jed Hoyer believed, you know what, maybe we should be buyers. And they went and bought Jamer Candelario, and they went and got some additions to their team. And they still came up short. And then they fired David Ross and hired Kirk Hensel. The butterfly effect if Mike didn't make that catch. It's a fun little theory, sliding doors stuff to talk about. But to answer the question, I don't look till July. I want to take a little moment up next. No Murphy audio today. Talk about what was the intent and the thought of me taking in this game as a fan today and the observations that I had. I think you'll find it interesting. We'll have highlights after that, and then we'll wrap up the program with the rest of the weekend schedule. Brewers win 7-2, 855-616-1620. Stay with us on 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Sweet Caroline. There it is. There it is. Thanks, Matt. Brewers win. If for some reason you don't know, and I'm not trying to call you out if you don't know, but, you know, the eighth inning song is Sweet Caroline here at Fenway Park, one of the great traditions, Neil Diamond. It's just cool. It's just cool to experience it with the ba-ba-ba. So good, so good. So good to be the Brewers victorious today, 7-2, the final score. The cool thing about Fenway Park are the little traditions and the little things that make you smile. And I already talked about the statues, and let me just kind of backtrack of the planning of all of this and get a little personal here, so indulge me for a minute, and then we'll get back to the baseball and talk about highlights coming up next. But this was, as soon as we saw this on the schedule last year when it was announced, that the Brewers would be coming to Fenway Park. And I love this ballpark. It's my favorite ballpark in baseball, and it's quite frankly not close. I've spent a lot of time in this ballpark. I first visited it in 2006, I want to say, something like that, and just fell in love with it instantly. The first time I ever did like a taped open trying to like figure out if I wanted to do this business, it was thanks to some colleagues at NBC Sports California, the Oakland A's television partner, and I taped a fake open as if I was doing the game with Ray Fosse. So it just always has had a special place in my heart. Obviously, we have lost Ray a couple of years ago. Just makes me smile every time I see that. And just really cool to have those memories every time I come here. So when I saw that Fenway was on the schedule next year, or this year, coming back to 2023, I was like, man, I got to go. And furthermore, to double down on it, my girlfriend, who I have now been dating for a year, is spent a long time in Boston. She went to Boston University. She lived literally around the corner of Fenway Park, is a Red Sox fan, forgive her. But you got to understand, this is a really cool chance for us to spend an anniversary weekend at Fenway Park in the city where we met in Boston. So it was really easy to take advantage of it. And then with the Apple presentation tonight, I didn't have to work with Bally tonight. You know, it's like I could sit here in the radio booth between Josh and Lane and do research for them for the night and just hang out, or hang out in press row and just kind of take a half day, or even not even come to the ballpark or hang out, whatever. And I said, you know what? I never get to sit in the seats. And I honestly can't remember the last time I sat in a big league seat. Like I think it had to have been when I was an intern in the Cape Cod Baseball League here at Fenway Park for a random off night that we had, and we came to Fenway. It was me, my broadcast partner, Johnny Wincott, our writer, Jesse Docherty, who now writes for the Washington Post. So it's really cool to come back here. And the irony of it all is I'm walking to my seat. I look to my left as somebody shouts, Dom! And I'm like, look. And it's Chris Shaw, who to most of you will never know that name. Chris Shaw played for Boston College, is from Lexington, Mass., same as Sal Frelick. And he is my little thread that connected Chris and Sal for me, because I already knew Shaw. I had interviewed Sal when he was a prospect coming up in the organization, and I just dumped on him, hey, by the way, you know Chris Shaw, right? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, I know Chris Shaw. And here he is watching Sal return to Fenway Park. So that was a really cool moment. But the big observation I had from enjoying a game with no technology, aside from my scorebook, I keep it on an iPad, is just a place like Fenway where it's just about the baseball, right? There's no, you know, There's no DJ. There's no blaring horns. And some people are here for that, and that's okay. But if you just want to hang out and watch the baseball game, that's fine. They have a dance for your shoes giveaway thing where you best dancer on the Jumbotron gets a free pair of New Balances. You can enjoy that. People are doing the wave. People can enjoy that. And this is just one of those cool sanctuaries that when you're up here in the press box, you lose sight of the little things down there and the vendors and the way that they try to get your attention. And I know this sounds like it's totally normal, Dom. Why are you making such a big deal out of this? It's just, this isn't normal in other sports where you have these cathedrals that are like hallowed grounds. Lambeau is probably the only one that fits this. Now, college football can be this in a way, but it's just such a limited access to college football, and you're so far away and all this stuff. We're sitting, you know, 25, 30 rows up, close to home plate. You could see the whole field. It was awesome. It was absolutely awesome, and it was really refreshing to sit and enjoy a baseball game with somebody who I love and around a bunch of baseball fans and just kind of take stock of why we love the game. And I just love watching little things. I could see breaks. I could see guys take off what they're reading instead of just seeing what the television camera tells you. So it was really cool. Go see a game live. That's all. Just go see a game live. Enjoy it. Bring the family. If your kids are into baseball, you know, let them focus for a few innings. Let them run around, blow off some steam. But just look around. There'll be something to watch. There'll be something to learn from anytime you're at the ball yard. With all that said, let's talk about the highlights. That's coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Inning. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Brewers starting a series from hallowed Fenway Park. First of a three-game set, and they used an opener, Jared Koenig, going against Cutter Crawford. So Koenig getting a bunch of lefties to start things off. Three of the first four batters in the order were left-handed. However, when he got through Rafi Devers, there were runners on first and second and two out. So a decision. Do you bring in the bulk man, Bryce Wilson, or do you go to somebody else? They went to Bryce Wilson, inheriting two runners in a scoreless game at the bottom of the first. He stepped up.
Kicks and delivers, and a swing and a foul tip into the mitt of Contreras. So Wilson comes out of the pen and strikes out Tyler O'Neill, a big ortho ASAP strikeout, and the inning is over.
Lane Grindle on the call. That would set the tone for the rest of the day for Bryce Wilson. The Brewers offense would pick things up in the third. A leadoff double by Jackson Churio into left center field. Then Blake Perkins was trying to bunt him over, but it was such a perfect bunt, he got himself aboard. Runners on the corners, nobody out. Terang behind with an 0-2 count.
They lead from the corners in the 0-2. Swung on and poked into left field. This should be deep enough to get the run in as Jaron Duran backtracks and makes the catch, but tagging from third is Churio. The throw will just come into the middle, and the Brewers have scored first. A sacrifice fly by Bryce Terang makes it 1-0 Milwaukee here in the third inning.
Seems inauspicious enough, but then two pitches later, a baby bull was loose.
The pitch. Hit high and deep to left field, way back up to the monster, and gone! Two-run home run, William Contreras. That was a screamer into the monster seats. It knocked a beverage out of the fan's hand up there. That's how hard it was hit. And the Brewers lead it 3-0 in the third inning.
112 miles an hour off the bat from William, one of the hardest hit balls of the season for the Crew. So you blink and it's 3-0 Brewers. Meanwhile, Bryce Wilson was rolling. He did allow an RBI double to David Hamilton in the fourth inning, but he made sure to do a good job leaving two men stranded in that fourth inning to keep the Brewers out in front. Then we pick things up in the fifth inning with the leadoff man, or the nine hitter Perkins, led off with an infield single, stole second base, and with one out, Contreras walked. It was a great at bat. And Yelich came to the plate looking to do damage.
Yelich, a drive out towards center. Rafaela on his horse, back, and it is off the top of the wall. Perkins racing around third. He will score. Contreras will stop at third. Checking into second with an RBI double is Christian Yelich. You can't hit it much better than he just did.
It was a rocket off the bat from Yelly 105. And then, the third time through the order is always tough for a starter. Crawford was dealing with it. You're thinking about, man, they held up they held up Contreras for Adames coming to the plate. Adames showing signs he's breaking out of this funk.
1-2 to Adames. is a fly ball out to right. Racing back is Abreu. It's over his head, and one hops the wall. Contreras will score. Yelich striking around third. He's in there safely. It's a two-run double for Adames, and the Brewers with a 6-1 lead at Fenway.
Lane Grindle's call once again. They would hold that lead for the majority of the game. Bryce Wilson, he allowed another run in the sixth, but overall his final line was 5 1/3, 6 hits, 2 runs, only 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. He earned the victory tonight, to say the least. Just to pour salt into the wound, the Brewers went to their A bullpen because they needed some work. It was Brian Hudson in the 7th and 8th inning. He got a pair of strikeouts, 5 whiffs total. Yoel Piamps in the 9th as well. Also, the defense had a little help for their pitching.
1-0 pitch. Popped up, shallow right, long run for Frelick, diving catch by Sal. Welcome back to Boston, Sal Frelick. Sal doesn't have a hit tonight, but he's got a highlight reel play in right field.
And he had a full crew watching him behind home with about 30, 40 tickets out for Sal Frelick, as he did give them something to smile about on their way back to Lexington tonight. Brewers get the victory, 7-2, the final score. We'll wrap up the program after this on 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, last couple minutes of the program here. Tomorrow, I've got Brewers warm-up for you, 2 o'clock Central Time for a 3:10 first pitch. Network coverage will take over at 2:35 Central Time tomorrow. And then on Sunday, it is a 12:35 first pitch, network coverage at noon, all central, and no warm-up on Sunday. So tomorrow, I've got you for a pregame show before we're leading into the network, and then I'll have you for postgame as well tomorrow and on Sunday as we get ready for Monday's big reunion with Craig Counsell. This text made me smile. Dom, you're right. There's nothing like going to a baseball game live. I'm totally blind, but enjoy going to baseball games. People say, well, you can't see. What do you get out of it? Well, I take the radio with me and just enjoy the smells and the atmosphere of the ballpark. It's a wonderful thing. Appreciate that text. Thanks for calling in here on the program. For me, one of the things that I love about this job and ultimately wanting to do play-by-play, once again, I did that in the minor leagues, for those of you who don't know, 4 years of minor league baseball, years of college baseball, amateur baseball, all of this stuff, but it's that painting the picture, considering the listener, Marty Glickman style of just always consider the baseball and where it is and the location and the descriptors that you can help paint the picture to consider the listener. So those are some things that I take with me and when I'm trying to do play-by-play. But as far as things that I get to enjoy as a fan, the smell is certainly one thing. For me, it's like the interaction of somebody at their first game. You know, a child at the first game or somebody who's been a fan their whole life or maybe is an out-of-town fan of the Red Sox and is finally getting the chance to come to Fenway, or maybe an out-of-town fan of the Brewers and finally get a chance to come to American Family Field. Those are the things that I love to see and to interact and hopefully get to be a front row with. And like today, seeing all of the people here for the Frelick party and seeing the shirts that Sal's girlfriend made really made me smile for their whole gang, with Sal with the cheese head on as he's getting high fives from a home run last season. So that kind of stuff really, really makes me smile. Thank you for everybody who listened. Same thing tomorrow. We'll be back live post-game show for a 3:10 first pitch. I'll be back on Bally during the game doing stats and research for Jeff Levering and Tim Dillard. Of course, Lane and Josh have you covered here on the radio side on WTMJ. My thanks to Max Meyerson, our producer, and my thanks to you for listening and hanging out with us. We'll be back again tomorrow. Once again, Brewers win 7-2. Good night from Fenway Park. Until next time, keep on swinging.